Welcome to Alice Apollia. This is Aleko, and all glory is due to Christ. So, this episode is based on a listener question from Instagram, and the question is, does science point to something greater than the material realm? And in my opinion, the answer is an unequivocal yes. I dedicated a book to this particular topic, and it's not simply science, but all realms of observation. And you can find that for free on episode 137 of this podcast. It's an audio format, several hours long. You can go and listen to it. It's a great superficial glance at this particular topic and others. I would also say that 40 to 60%, depending on what poll you're looking at online, of the scientific community also believes in a higher power. And it's not necessarily the Christian God, although there are many Christians in the scientific community. But just based on everything that we see, many people, put quite frankly, just cannot believe that this all happened by accident. So there are, in essence, many scientific questions that exceed the boundaries of human grasp, which means we must implement a cross between, in my opinion, philosophy of science and metaphysical thinking to tread where laboratories and control-led experiments cannot. Put in the words of Dr. Stephen C. Meyer of Cambridge, science done correctly points to God because it opens doors that we wouldn't have imagined to all realms of possibility without impedance or doubt. So with that being said, here are several topics in science that usher most to the gateway of theism or the realm of a much greater possibility. The first among these five or six topics is, of course, Big Bang and general relativity combined, I would say, which both point to a definitive beginning of the universe. Most scientists now believe that energy, matter, space, and time, and the implications that walk hand in hand with those things are profoundly anti-materialistic, meaning that they couldn't have come from themselves. They didn't create themselves. Because we must infer that they all came into being from outside of this material cosmos, general relativity points to the need for a cause that transcends these domains, the ones that we exist in, rather. And theism, or rather the belief in God, affirms the existence of such an entity. If it's true that there is a beginning of the universe, which many modern cosmologists now agree on, then it follows that there must have been a cause to that beginning. The second would be anthropic principle, or rather fine-tuning, as some people have heard it. So the fundamental laws and parameters of physics have precise numerical values, which permit the existence of life. Worth noting is that any slight change to these parameters would have been a hindrance to life and quite possibly the material cosmos as we know it, meaning that the planets and the stars and the galaxies couldn't have formed. Here are a couple of examples. If the strong nuclear force were more powerful, then we would have no hydrogen in the universe, an essential element for life. If it were slightly weaker, then hydrogen would likely be the only element in existence, allowing no building blocks to create the diverse matter that we see in the universe today. If the weak nuclear force were slightly different, then either there would not be enough helium to produce the heavy elements that we find in stars today, or stars would extinguish too quickly, thereby preventing supernova explosions from scattering heavy elements across the universe. If the electromagnetic force were slightly stronger or weaker, atomic bonds and complex molecules would not form, meaning that we would have no discernible, tangible matter in the universe. No stuff, really. If the gravitational constants value were slightly larger, one consequence would be that stars would incinerate themselves hastily and have an uninfluential lifespan. If it were smaller, stars would never burn at all and heavy elements would not be produced, meaning that life could not proliferate as well. The finely tuned laws and constants of the universe are more than an example of specified complexity in nature. They are a playground, permitting life to readily become stronger. They are complex in that their values and settings are implausible, and based on mathematical calculations, any skewing of the assigned values would render living things impossible. It should be mentioned that the words fine-tuning concerning the teleological argument are well known, and its core tenets are almost universally agreed upon throughout the secular and theist community. So all of science agrees on these things. This is not, you know, some type of woo-woo religious perspective of anthropic principle. So this is because the concept is typically seen as a neutral expression that deals primarily in the constants and measures needed to be the perfect amount to allow for life. Very few actually doubt that fine-tuning exists. The real question is the genesis of the matter. Was it caused or coincidence? Or as scientists like Sir Frederick Hoyle put it, a super intellect has very likely tinkered with the settings of the universe to allow for life and matter, as no blind forces in nature would have allowed for such an awesome coincidence. If you'd like to read a little bit further into this, I would heavily recommend the book A Fortunate Universe. And I can't remember the authors right now, but it's fantastic look into anthropic principle and fine tuning. A great book. The next example of science pointing to something beyond itself is the origin of life and the information necessary to bring life into existence. Put simply by MIT physicist Dr. Walt Brown, life only produces life, and we've never observed anything to the contrary in science. There's literally no observation of anything else producing life but life itself. So life at its roots requires information. But simple strands of DNA resemble quaternary computer code. They're more complex than anything that we have on Earth or anything that we could fathom. Even famed atheist scientist Dr. Richard Dawkins of Oxford will concede deism from time to time, or rather the notion of an impersonal creator, simply based on the complexity of life alone. But while some would see this stance as the fallacy known as the argument from ignorance, or as Dawkins has occasionally put it, the God of the gaps, it's worth noting that this is not merely a gap. This is an unfathomably large chasm between life and non-life. And design is not inferred simply because evolutionary theories fail to explain the origin of life or the mechanisms necessary to produce it. We infer design, or rather an intelligent designer, because those theories fail, and we know of another causal agent who is capable of bringing these things into existence, namely an unlimited intelligence creator, our God. If there's information in living cells, as microbiologists now understand, then we have a strong reason to infer a designer. The process needed to get the information going in those cells in the first place would have had to have been biological information from another living being. Okay, so the next one is the evidence for design in molecular machines, which walks hand in hand with the previous one about complexity and the origins of life, but it's separate as well because, you know, it's a different realm of observation. So these complex systems found in biological organisms, which biologists like Michael Behe refer to as irreducibly complex, include signal transduction circuits, sophisticated motors, and the equivalent of biological circuitry, which all living beings are replete with. So these biological machines need all of the various parts that they have to exist, but there is no evolutionary process that could have brought them about, nor are there any lesser versions of them, meaning that they are irreducibly complex. So one example that Behe brings up in some of his work is the bacterial flagella. So essentially, there are these tiny components inside bacteria which allow them to move. And much like a wristwatch, right? If you were to remove one of the cogs in a watch, it wouldn't make the watch less efficient. The watch would simply no longer work. And this parallels the flagella. So this bacteria, if you were to remove any of the parts that cause a flagella to spin, it's like an outboard motor on a boat, it would simply no longer work, meaning that there was no gradual process that brought these parts into place. They simply had to have been created as they were. They came into being. Put another way, there's no simple evolutionary stepstone that could have led to these microorganisms existing. Natural selection, as we know it, only preserves things that form a function. And the problem with these irreducibly complex things is they cannot perform any function unless the machinery needed for them to work pops into existence at the same time. Thus, natural selection cannot build such irreducibly complex systems. It can only preserve what's already there, as mentioned before. The question that presents itself again is, how did these biological machines arise by themselves without a cause that transcends space and time? Again, this is another topic that points us to something greater than science. All right, here's the next one. The Cambrian explosion. So the Cambrian explosion is another striking piece of evidence for design in the mosaic being built here. 20 or 30 completely novel body plans pop into existence with no intermediaries in the Cambrian explosion in the strata of the Earth, placing the tree of life, as proposed by Darwin, completely upside down. So that means if you were to go digging in the ground in the right areas, you would find fossils, okay? Now, what Darwin had proposed was that the further down you go, the more simple the life. So in essence, what's happening here is the further down you go, the further back in time you go, in certain places, in most places, right? And going back in time would mean, according to Darwin's tree of life and evolution, you would find tiny little microorganisms that eventually evolved into to bigger organisms that eventually evolved into life that we might recognize, that evolved into bigger and more complex things, right? But that's not what happens in the Cambrian explosion. In essence, the tree of life is upside down. Some of the most complex species are at the bottom, meaning that they were first. And we have no evidence of a linear thread or linear progression from simple to complex, as proposed by Darwin. We just have complex species popping into existence from out of nowhere. Darwinism simply can't account for this, but intelligent design can. Darwin himself said that nature takes no sudden leaps, yet all of the stratigraphic layers of the Earth seem to put only leaps on display. And I'll just leave one more here. There are plenty more areas of scientific observation that point to something much greater than themselves, but I thought I just might throw in, human consciousness is incredibly complex. When you're looking for a transcendental cause, that's a great place to start. And I would recommend scientists the likes of Dr. Sharon Durix, whose book we just read. It was called Am I Just My Brain? So I think we read it over a year ago in the book club. Really fantastic read, and I would highly recommend it. It's also quite simple. She knows how to reduce things into lay terms. And of course, she has more complex work that's a little bit more detailed, but it's a really easy read for those of us, including myself, who are not brain scientists. Science, simply put, cannot account for the level of consciousness that we see in humans merely because of the physical matter in our head. And theism provides an excellent explanation. So there you have it. There are about half a dozen realms of scientific observation that point to a transcendental, intelligent cause for all things. If you'd like to see or listen to more, you can head over to idcpodcast.co. So that's idcpodcast.co, our website, or head over to Instagram and find Atlas Apollyia. We post tons of stuff there, and you can, you know, it's typically in a pithy format, so you can read it or listen to it. But with that being said, thanks so much, and God bless.